welcome to Beaver Creek. Thank y'all for being here with us today.
Well, good morning, everybody.
There's lots of announcements in the bulletins.
What a song to begin today with communion that we're going to be partaking in today.
Last week y'all changed up on me a little bit, so I'm trying to make sure I catch up right.
I love it. Lord, but,
it's good.
Thank you that we can come in your presence.
It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
And mighty, and
all right. Couple of
Lord,
things.
Lord, I thank you that you are all of those
prayer requests. Please make sure you fill out the prayer request
and
put it in the offering plate. We will have someone praying over each
Lord,
and every
come today.
Prayer
come
request
presence,
during
Lord,
the worship service. And on Wednesday nights, we are able to do things more specifically. So please be here on Wednesday nights and we can do our prayer time before we do our Bible study. I know I've got a couple of things I need to make announcements that's not in the bulletins. Senior meeting, August the 7th at 10 a.m. here at the church. Okay, at the Family Life Center or up here.
I understand right now.
Family Life Center, breakfast will be provided. It's the Senior Saints. Y'all have your meeting scheduled August 7th. That's a good day.
Encourage us and to draw.
Because that's the day I get to go back to work.
Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was waiting for my wife to say amen on that.
I'm excited when I heard that we were going to have communion today.
Arrangements for Miss Ruby Drunken Miller Brown. She passed away at 5 p.m. on Friday, July 28th, and they will meet at Bridges and Cameron Funeral Home on Monday, July 31st at 1 p.m. Then proceed to Lee Memory Gardens for the graveside service at 2 p.m.
And
Pastor Darren Moore will be officiating. If you have any questions, please contact myself or contact Miss Carlton to make sure you, if you've got any questions about the arrangement.
Lord had brought me to 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 32 is where we're going
to
go through. But
one is for the Beaver Creek Baptist Men's Ministry.
So we don't need to stand and read it together because it'll be.
Thanks so much.
But some of the things that as we come
To the Beaver Creek Baptist Church Baptist Men's Ministry, the phrase is simple and the words are few, but behind them is a whole lot of appreciation. My thank you seems so small compared to all you've done, but it comes from my heart. God bless Miss Margie Carlton, and she has made a donation to the building fund on behalf of the Baptist Men, and we greatly appreciate that. I'll make sure that goes on the offering plate this morning, Miss Carlton.
It's something that comes to reverently.
But yes, the men
passionately
was able to finish up that project, and it looks good.
And Paul gives
what
some
I
warnings
understand.
That
I'm not a carpenter, but it looks nice.
If we don't do those things.
And it's safe. That's the most important thing right there.
Within our own hearts.
And then we have another thank you card. It says, "Dear church family, words cannot be expressed on how I feel." The card says itself, "Hope you know how much it is appreciated. All of your cards, visits, phone calls, and prayers are greatly appreciated. The Lord has been so good to me. I love you all, Miss Julie McClain." And it is wonderful to have her here this morning. For all that she has been through, absolutely.
All right.
Okay.
So,
is there anything that I missed that needs to be made mention before we go into the tithes and offering?
Where,
if not, I'll ask the ushers to come forward,
God was
please.
Bringing the Abrahamic
yes.
covenant
that
God had told Abraham to bring a 3-year-old animals, and they split them in half, and they put some on the one side, one
yes, ma'am.
Put
absolutely
some on the other.
Right
we talked
there.
About how God had. Put
but
Abram
yes, any,
in a sleep.
Any prayer requests for sure, absolutely, please fill out
this,
the card and drop it in the plate.
That they were going
and,
to go
but we
together,
do want to remember each and
that,
every one.
They were going
definitely.
To be the bridge of bridging those two animal parts
yes, ma'am,
together. Making sure this covenant of what
happy birthday to Miss Mary Cleary, that's
that
right.
They were going to do this thing together.
We got to sing happy birthday
said,
real quick.
I'm going to put you
okay.
to sleep.
Okay.
And then God goes through this covenant, and
Monday.
Abraham's
okay.
able to watch this and see this and see, hey,
birthday
I wasn't able to walk through with, but God wanted to show him that
happy
this is something that I am doing. I'm going
to
fulfill this covenant.
You.
I'm the one who's going to do this.
Happy
I know you're
birthday,
I know
God
you
bless
have,
you.
You're not going to be able to do it, so
happy
I'm going to do this for you. What I want you to do is
you.
Accept this
absolutely.
Covenant that I have established with you, and I want you to walk. I want you to walk this journey with me, but
all
I'm going
to
do
let's
it for
go to
you.
Our Heavenly Father in prayer now.
I just want you to be a part
Father,
of it.
Father, thank you for this
so
day.
So as we come to
thank
the communion
you
table
your love
and
your
what Jesus
Father, we,
has done, has
just
brought
come
this new covenant
you and
for us, and
request
it's the same principle.
Feet. And we thank
Jesus
you, Father,
has done everything on the cross
for
us.
And the offerings that we're
because
able
I can't earn my way
to
return
to you, Father, that you have graciously given to us. Father, you only ask
Jesus
a small
to
portion back.
I need
but
him,
Father,
I need
what
him
you
to
bless
take
us
all control.
With
I need him
can
to take every part of me. So
given back
my life since the day
Father,
that I came to know Jesus was dying to myself.
So Father, may we worship you.
He wanted me to stay at that place every single day of my life. Every single moment.
Most importantly, may we worship you.
Every single thing that I do in my life.
We love you. We thank you.
I need you. I need you. I need you. And when I say I need you, I'm saying I want to be a part of what you've done on the cross. So it's absolutely wonderful and beautiful. What we're going to partake with today is we're celebrating what Jesus has done, not only on the cross, at one time, just about 2,000 years ago, but what he's doing in our lives today, actively, if we allow him. So it's absolutely a beautiful parallel that we see from the Abrahamic covenant to the new covenant that we see with what Jesus has done. And in Isaiah 53 says that all like sheep have gone astray, and each one of us has turned to our own ways, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And it's this beautiful miracle that Jesus the Father has taken your sin and my sin. He somehow takes it out of it. It's absolutely a miracle thing that he does. And he placed it on Jesus on the cross. And this is what we're going to be celebrating today when we come. And we can see the importance. We can see the wow, this is absolutely amazing, something that you've done for us, Lord. And Paul, with what we're going to read, is he wants us to not take that for granted. He doesn't want us to come to this table and as in a way that's going to be not understood the magnitude of what God has done for us. So he wants to help keep us sensitive, but not only that the communion is also about relating with others.
Aaron, would you ask the blessing on that?
And it's about relationships, and it's about our relationship with God first and foremost, but it's about relationships with other people as well. So there's going to be these dynamics that are taking place that God wants us to be attentive to.
Amen.
And sensitive to when we come
to
and partake of something
like
so special.
All our visitors we have
and so reminiscent
today.
Of what he's done for us.
Not doing that other,
so in 1 Corinthians 11,
with us today, and
it says this.
For choosing to be with Beaver Creek
as Paul gives, he's giving a warning to the church. He says, but in giving this instruction, I do not praise you. If I'm in the church right now of Paul and he's I'm reading these words that he wrote, I'm going, oh no, oh no. Paul, what are you saying next? You're not happy with something that we're doing as a body. So I'm going to be a little bit of alert on this one and paying attention to what he's going to say. Because you have not come together for the better, but for the worse. Okay, no, wait a minute. Not for the better, but for the worse. So it makes me think. And us as a congregation, as we get prepared and getting ready for communion, because he's going to be talking about this, that are we coming together for the better or for the worse? What does he mean by this? In the first place, you come together as a church. I hear the divisions that exist among you, and in part I believe. For there must be also fractions, or also the same word used for as heresies among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and the other is drunk. What do you not have houses where you can eat and drink? Or you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? And when I say to you, shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. So there's something going along in the church that's in Corinth that is not there. It's not. And Paul's encouraging the people, what you're doing is not okay, it needs to change. So take heed of what I'm going to say. The word division is a word of a tearing in the cloth. When you tear something, when you tear your clothes, it's not the same anymore, is it? It almost becomes useless. So as that tearing of what was useful and what was good and what was right is now torn, and now it becomes less than what it should have been. And Paul doesn't want the church in Corinth to get lazy, to lose perspective, to lose what is important, because we'll be torn. Will become not what we're supposed to be. Will become less than what God is intended. And it's important as we come forward and we points out three things: divisions, there's fractions or heresies, and then there's the selfish behavior where the people are eating, they're coming, they have these gatherings, they would eat feast, they would have this wonderful feast, but people are being selfish, and I'm going to get there first, and time isn't it come to get have fun and communion together and be with one another and have fun and get happy but I was there first, so shouldn't I eat first? And Paul's saying, have you lost perspective? Have you lost perspective that Jesus is about selflessness, isn't he? What he gave for us on the cross.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
It was a selfless heart. He didn't have to do it. He's God himself. Why would God himself be so selfless for us who are fragile and weak? Why would he look out for our best interest? Why didn't he just look out for his first? And then say, hey, come on. That's not how that is. He reached out and said, I'm going to give to you what you gave. And I'm going to give it to you first. I'm going to give my life first for you before I even ask you.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
And this element is absolutely needs to be taken out of the church. As we come today, if there is an element in your heart of selfishness,
because he first loved me,
we need to give that to him. We need to hand that to him. Because that is not about what this table is about. If God brings forth, and I've been praying this morning, that the Lord would remind him and speak to our hearts and reveal things to us that we might not have realized before we come and take. And if selfishness has been a part of your mentality,
how I love Jesus,
this week, this morning, but we don't want to push it off to the side,
because
then we disrespect God's standards. Paul's going to show there are consequences for when we don't honor God the way he should be honored. And it's just fear and reverence. He's a mighty and wonderful God, and that we should treat him that way.
Yield sunshine all the way.
And as he's creating in us this character, that selfishness should be waning away from us. And selfishness should be waning away from us as he places in his character love and selflessness, that is, he's developing those things in us. And that should be taken part of us. So in verse 23, it says, for I have received from the Lord what I have delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night which he was betrayed, he took bread. And in Luke 22:21, it says, but behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table. For indeed the Son of Man is going, as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to betray him. One of the beautiful things about this passage is that Jesus has invited everybody to his table. He invites his enemies. One day, years ago, I was God's enemy. And he said, come. I want you to be my friend. I want you to be a part of my family. So if you're out there today and you don't know Jesus, and you feel like, God, you know, I know him a little bit, or I've kept him at a distance, God is saying, come and be, I want you to be a part of this table. I want you to be with me for eternity. So don't be hesitant when we have communion today that you might have to feel like I have to be a certain way. There's got to be a certain goodness about me before God's really going to accept me to be able to participate here. Because, friends, Jesus did all that on the cross. Amen. The only thing he's saying is, what I have done, I want you to partake in it. I want you to accept what I've done and come and be with me in this. And that's a joy for us, isn't it? For those who've known that and experienced that, this is an absolute joy. So when we come and we celebrate this communion, remember, it's an absolute joy of what God has done for us and how he's invited us in. That the pressures of being a certain way are alleviated. Because now I can go to God and I can say, God, I know you want to develop a patience in me. God, I need your help to do that. Will you please do? And he's like, oh yeah. I've been waiting for you to say, I need your help. Please develop this in me, Lord. More and more of your character. Holy Spirit, rise up within me. Take over so I don't try to create. Because, Lord, I need you. I need you in everything. So we see that also that Judas, as he was there, we find out later that it was him that betrayed the Lord. And what was selfish for him was that he wanted something more than Jesus. He wanted money. He wanted something other than him. If we're coming today and we want something more than Jesus, can we be honest and say, Lord, change that in my heart if you really want that to be changed? Lord, reveal to me what it is that I don't even realize right now that is in place of you right now. Lord, reveal that to me today before I come. I don't want anything before you. But if I do have something there, please reveal it so you can take it away. Make my heart right before you. It's really, really important. So, in 1 Corinthians 27, therefore, whoever eats and drinks of the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. You see how important this is? This is why I'm excited about today, to be able to share a message of warning, of caution. And hopefully this isn't just for today, but it's for the rest of your lives. Any time that you think about having communion, if you do it at your home with your family, or if you go to this church or another church, or you're in a position where you're going to take communion, that you just don't take it lightly. Because the last thing we want to do is do it in an unworthy manner. But a man must examine himself. And in doing so, he is to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment upon himself if he does not judge the body rightly. It's really important to examine ourselves, and not only do that, but to do it rightly. Isn't that what he's saying here? For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. Now we can look at people, and I want to make it very clear, we can look at people and judge them for what they're doing or what they're not doing, or things that they go through or they don't go through. That's not what Paul's saying here. That is not what he's saying, that because somebody's going through a difficult time or this is that God must be judging them and putting judgment upon them. It's very clear that we don't do that. That's God's place to do that. Isn't that right? So we absolutely don't want to do that. Because that would be, I need to examine my heart, make sure I'm right before God, because I'm placing myself before God, because I'm placing judgment on the person, and that's not okay, friends. Okay? I just want to make that really clear, because it's easy for us to do that. We live in a fallen world that we want to make judgment calls on people. Okay? God, these people would know, I am sick because I am, oh yeah, you know what? I was the one getting drunk at the table. I was irreverent before God. I didn't care how God was in my life. You know what? At home, I was doing my own thing, and I would come to the synagogue or the church group meeting, and yes, God is so great and wonderful, and I'm going to partake here. They would know, the Holy Spirit would convict their hearts to say, this is not right. Your lifestyle is not okay. And you're coming into my presence and saying, everything is great? Or just coming and saying, yeah. By living how I want to at home, and then coming here, or in front of friends, or we talked about Facebook last week, making sure there's a great picture of us out there. However we want to be a hypocritical face, and that's just a character. Hypocrisy is the putting on a face of a character that's not true. And we do that in the form of Christianity. Be careful, okay? Be careful. This message is not about condemnation or pointing fingers at anybody, because I'm still getting to know y'all. Isn't that the beauty of it? But I do have to share the word of God and the warning that how serious this is. Amen. We live in a culture that has so much taken the reverency, the holiness, the wonderful aspects of what is good and holy and true, and have watered them down, twisted it around, and has said, this is okay now. I was given a, I had a, a story that was given to me once, and it was about this one child came to his dad and said, "Hey, can I go watch this movie at the movie theater?" And it's this, whatever this movie was, and it was happened to be a rated R movie, and his dad said, "Okay, let me think about that." Goes, makes some brownies. Pretty nice dad, right? It's like, hey, dad's making brownies for me to go to movies. Pretty nice. Comes back in, and he says, "Okay, yes, you can go to the movie if you go ahead and eat the brownie with me first." He says, "That's no problem." He says, "But there's one catch to it. I threw a little bit of poo-poo in there." I'm thinking maybe I don't want the brownie. And he said, "Yeah, you can eat that because the brownie looks pretty good, but inside that brownie there are some things that are not good for you, really not good for you. That's like the movie you're going to go see. You might see some good things in the movie that are pretty cool, but the truth that movie is sharing with you and the way that the morality that it stands on was absolutely not okay. That's the position of the father. It's not godly. It's not things that Jesus would want to sit in that movie theater with you and watch. So if you can go ahead and eat that, then you're going to go to a movie and you're going to watch something that might have some good elements into it, but there's going to be threads of evil. There's going to be threads of things that are not pleasing to God. And if you want to be a part of that, go right ahead. Eat the brownie and go. But I've done my part as a father to share that's truth, what is good and right for you." Story ends there because we have to answer that question. Would I want to eat the brownie? Would I want to be partake in those things? Because if I go on and I live my life in a world that just, I do what I want to do and live how I want to live, and I don't really care about God so much, or I kind of do, but I don't keep him reverently, please don't come to the table today, please, okay? Please don't partake. Because Paul is really clear, for he who eats and drinks judgment upon himself if he does not judge the body rightly. There will be a judgment that will come. But the good news is that God disciplines those whom he loves. If there's been a time where you've taken this table irreverently and you know something that God has told you, this could have happened because of this. You didn't take care, you were not reverent with me. This is between you and God, not between me, you, and God. This is between you and God, these type of situations. God will reveal it. God will show you. He's a mighty God. He speaks to us. As we ask him, he gives and he talks. If you believe it, you'll hear him. But he disciplines us out of love. In Exodus 34:6, when the Lord passed in front of him, being Moses, and proclaimed, God is proclaiming who he is and what his character is like. He said, the Lord your God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. That is his character, slow to anger and kind and compassion. So when we think about, Lord, how have I maybe sinned before you? One of the beautiful things about him is that he is so compassionate. He says, you cannot out-sin me. You cannot sin my grace. I cover it all. Come. Just come. And let me show you my goodness on you. Let me show you my love. For in verse 7, he who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. He covers it all, doesn't he? Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. He is still just. He will not let us get away with different types of sins and we kind of cover them up and kind of move around through. God knows what our hidden sins are. And if there are any of those today, before you come up, confess them to the Lord. Because he's gracious and he covers the iniquity of so much, of everything. In Deuteronomy 4:31, it says, "For the Lord our God is compassionate, a compassionate God. He will not fail nor destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers which he swore to them." The covenant that he gave us through Jesus Christ, our Messiah, what he gave, he will not forget. I've done it all for you. Accept it. Be a part of it. Let me be a part of your life. He will not forget. He will not forsake. He will not turn away. He will always be present. So in when God disciplines, he does it out of his love. In Hebrews 11:5, it says, For you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons, my son or daughter. Do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. For it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there from whom a father does not discipline? So we can have encouragement that if God has disciplined you at some point in life, that's a testimony of your sonship or daughtership with the Lord God Almighty. Isn't that beautiful? That's an encouragement. If you've gone through something that's been difficult and you're like, God does not like me, maybe we're looking at it from the wrong perspective. Maybe he's saying, I love you so much and I won't let you do what is wrong for you. I want you to see the goodness of who I am, and I want you to follow me because that's what I've created you, is a relationship with me, but you're not wanting that relationship. So you wanted me, and I'm going to press in on you. I'm going to show you who I am. I want you to walk with me. And sometimes that discipline feels like you don't like me. When I discipline my children, Michelle can attest to this, she happens with her as well, our children will sometimes say, you don't love us. It's like, what do you mean we don't love you? If we wouldn't love you if we just let you do whatever you wanted to do. So a father or a mother who loves their children will discipline, and it won't be feeling too good for the one receiving the discipline. But later on, as we get older, we experience life a little bit more, we realize, you know what? I'm so thankful God did that for me. He taught me so much. He showed me his love, and he's drawn me closer to him. So Paul encourages us to come before the Lord and with examined hearts. In Acts 15:8, God who knows the heart. God knows the heart. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul goes, we're in 11, so in chapter 4, he already tells the people this. But for me, it is a very small thing that I am examined by you. It's a very small thing. I don't hold much weight on it that you examine me in my heart or by any human court. In fact, I don't even examine myself. Okay, Paul, who is going to examine you then? You get to do whatever you want. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, because oftentimes we kind of think, we've got it all together, don't we? They're the one that's wrong. They shouldn't have treated me that way. Yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. So Paul has already established for the people reading, when he gets to the point, says, examine yourselves. He is not saying, okay, now I should go and examine myself and figure out how good I am or how not good I am. But I should go before the Lord and let him examine me. Because God is going to reveal the deepest recesses of my heart and how I'm thinking. And he's going to renew my mind, renew my heart, give me a newness that I say, wow, Lord, I didn't realize I was really keeping bitterness towards that person. And I had no clue. I thought I was okay over it. Because bitterness kind of whittles its way down into the heart, doesn't it? Because many times it's about relationships that we have a problem that we need help with. So I encourage you today, before we come up and as we're listening to the Lord speak to our hearts, let him start to examine it. God, I need your help to examine my mind and my heart. Show me, because I'm incapable. My heart is wicked. In the flesh. This is the beauty of the communion. God has said, I have created a new covenant with you. I've created you a brand new creation. And it is me. It is me who's going to live in you. That's the beauty of what he's done for us. And as we relax and rest in him, he starts to live. He starts to change. He starts to mold. He starts to reveal things that we have hidden. He sacrificed himself for us, and he expects me in you to sacrifice ourselves for others. There's no difference. That heart of selflessness, that heart of I want to make relationships work. I don't want to isolate myself. I don't want to pull back, but I want to make those relationships work. And if I know bitterness is there, or if God reveals it to me, he says this in Matthew 6. Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. But it doesn't stop there. As we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then he continues. He just wants to make this clear that forgiving others, I love it that God forgave me of my debts. I love it. It's so freeing and exciting. But it's also freeing and exciting in relationships when you have forgiven somebody else for things that they've done against you. It's so freeing. It's so enlightening for you. So he says, for if you forgive others of their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. So as we come today and we look and partake, it's important that we let God examine our hearts, that if there's bitterness in our hearts, that I push somebody away because I just don't like them. And if I have it in my mind, I just don't like them, so I don't really care about them, there's probably some bitterness deep down in your heart towards them. I'm not saying that when you forgive somebody, your relationship is reestablished and there's this beautiful thing that takes place, because that's not always the case. But it does begin with us. And as I forgive, I give the hope of an established relationship that it can be reestablished. But the truth is that sometimes the other person doesn't want that relationship to be reestablished. That's between them and God. But it is my choice to forgive, and God calls me to do that. So as we come up, let the Lord ask and show you, is there somebody in your life that you just have kept at a distance because you just didn't want to forgive them? You're upset with them. Let God start to show you how to let that go before we come up. Let God show you. Let God examine your heart. And in 1 Corinthians 11:33, as he closes, for then, my brethren, when you come and eat, wait on one another. That selfless part. Be servants to one another. Have somebody else's interest in it more so. Think about other people more than ourselves. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Do the right thing. So that you do not come together for judgment. But the remaining matters he'll talk when he gets to the Corinthian church. When we come, I don't want you to partake and bring judgment on yourself. If God has revealed something in your life, in your heart, the beautiful aspect is this. God, I'm sorry. I don't want that to be a part of my life. I want you to take it. And he says, thank you. I have taken it. Thank you. I've covered that. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being true. Thank you for letting that not hold you back in my relationship with you. I have so much more to give you, so much more to show you. And we can come into his presence. We can have a newness with him. And in Hebrews 10, it says this, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, a confidence that is in him and what he's done, by the new and living way which he inaugurated through us, through the veil that is in his flesh. When he tore the flesh, when his flesh was torn for us, he opened up the veil of the holy place of holies, where the high priest would only go one time a year, and he would die if his sins weren't confessed. And he didn't go through the sacrificial, the rituals to go through. But God tore that veil away for anybody and everybody who wanted to come into the temple, who wanted to partake and be a part of his presence. So the beauty of it is, if there's sin that is in our lives, if there's things that have been we have hidden, and God reveals those, hand them to him and come and partake of the newness of life he wants to give you today. The Lord had, as I was sharing with him this week, I think there's a song that it was a, would be a great song for us as we come now, as you've heard my warning through Paul that was given to Paul through the Lord to be cautious and be considerate and be very apprehensive before we know what God has shown us in our hearts and he's examined it. That we take this time to examine, let God examine our hearts, reveal to you before we come up. And then there'll be another song that'll come up afterwards. And then we'll partake in the communion. But there's no pressure to partake. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, the table's here. If you're an enemy of God today, the table's here to become his friend. It's the blue. There it is. Can you hear me okay? You can hear me out there? Okay. This song is called Holy Spirit. And as we come together, let the Lord speak to your heart.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. Where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Go to his presence.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free, yet my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Let God examine your hearts, Lord. I thank you that you have come to this place and you have shown us, Lord. You have met the people who have asked you to meet them, Lord God. I thank you for that. Lord, you're a God who reveals. You're a God who brings forth. You're a God who restores. Lord, I thank you in my brokenness, you have restored me. In my frailty, Lord, you have given me strength. Lord, I thank you that what you have done on the cross, we can come today and celebrate what you have done for us. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And the deacons would come up, and as you've prepared your heart today, if you've let the Lord prepare your heart today, there's no pressure to come up. Not every believer needs to come up. If there's something that's you're struggling in your heart, I encourage you not to come up. Wait. Wait until God and you have worked it out. And then partake with joy, with unhindering heart. But if God has spoken to your heart today and you've made amends, you've made right with the Lord, come. Come. And remember what he's done for you. In Luke 25:15, it says, "And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." Now at this point, I'm not sure how we do it here, because I didn't ask the question. But do we give out the bread first and then...
Tradition is we hand out the bread and then we'll partake, and then we'll hand out the juice and we'll partake.
Perfect. Perfect. That's, we will... We will keep that tradition, and as the Lord, the deacons will come and share the bread. And when he had taken some of the bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which I have given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he would take in a piece of bread that was unleavened, sinless, and he would break it and pass it. The veil that was torn for us so that we can be in his presence. When he had taken some of the bread and given thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Jesus would give the cup that he passed out, and the deacons will come and hand you our represented symbol of wine. that as Jesus gave this to the disciples, his last time that he would partake, he wouldn't drink of it until it was fulfilled. The cup of redemption, cup of the new covenant. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." In this, we have come today to celebrate. Sean, can you cue up that song that we sang earlier today? Because this is the time of celebration.